well, it's all right. Riding around in the breeze, well, it's all right. If you live the life you please, well, it's all right.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And when I say welcome back, I mean welcome back from last week. Last week was our one-year anniversary show. We had a bunch of stuff to give away, did lots of dog talk show trivia. We had on Patrice Tellum from Kakadu Pet, an Australian dog product company. And they had a very nice bed that they donated to the show to give away to a lucky listener. And we gave away some gift vouchers to Wellness Pet Food and all that good stuff. And now we're back today and we're going to talk about all things having to do with leashes and collars and all the different types of training tools out there, because there's lots. And a lot of people feel kind of at a loss as far as what's the best thing to use and what's the best thing for my dog. And you know, there's lots of varying opinions on those types of things. And so we'll talk about different pros and cons to all those different types of tools that are on the market right now and hopefully clarify some things for listeners who maybe have some questions about what are the best things to use for walking with your dog on leash and what are the best types of collars and all that good stuff. But before we get to that, just have a couple things I want to talk about that are not related to leashes and collars. First of all, I want to say hi to Eric. Hi, Eric.
Hey, Jolie. How are you this afternoon?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Another good, beautiful day here in the Puget Sound area, so can't complain.
Is it a good day to walk your dog today, Eric?
I would think.
Yes.
If you had a dog that needed a little walk-in, this would be a great day to do it.
Yes, and all dogs need a little walk-in, and even rainy days are good days to walk your dog.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Maybe if it's coming down, like it's stormy or whatever, maybe hold off. But if it's just a little rain, I think most dogs enjoy that.
Yeah, most dogs. My dachshund does not, but we make her walk anyway because it's good for her.
Maybe she just needs little galoshes.
She has a very nice raincoat that she wears that I think helps and keeps her warm and all that kind of stuff. But some dogs just don't care about it. I think most dogs probably really don't care about the rain, but...
Well, if you ask me, there's nothing cuter than a little wiener dog in wellies.
So she's so cute. Speaking of my dogs, I posted today a picture of the cattle dogs on their new Kakadu Pet bed that's on the website, which is dogtalkshow.com.
I'll be checking that out
on
during the break.
On the front page or the home page of the website, that is the first thing that will come up, is the two cattle dogs, Levi and Telly. Levi is the red heeler in the back, and Telly is the blue heeler in the front. Both are Australian cattle dogs. Red heeler and blue heeler are other names for them. So they are enjoying their very sweet Kakadu Pet bed, and thank them again for sending that out.
Yeah, and they do. I mean, they do kind of look red and blue. So
yeah, it makes sense.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. He's not green, and they call him a red heeler.
You can get a white cattle dog, and it'll be very patriotic.
Yes. Well, Telly's patriotic because she's red, white, and blue. Because she does have a...
I can see some of that. Yeah. A little bit of red on her paws there.
And her neck. She's a redneck. So, a lot of blue heelers do have a little bit of red on them, and she's got some on her legs and her neck. So we joke that she's a redneck. Well, I have some news first. One of those things was to let people know that the cattle dogs are on the Dog Talk Show website and that they can look at them and look at their brand new Kakadu Pet bed. You know, I heard Daddy, Caesar Milan's dog, passed away recently. I think he was 16. He was his rehabilitated pit bull that he brought. He was on his show quite a bit, and he used him a lot in work with other dogs. And he passed away, which I feel really sad for him, for Caesar and his family. I know that they were very tight and partners of sorts, and I'm sure that he misses him a lot. So I just kind of wanted to announce that. I just really felt that in my heart when I read that for him. So that was some sad news, but I thought people might want to know that because he was kind of a fixture on his show. And on a brighter note, the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show is coming up just a few weeks away. March 13th and 14th at Quest Field Event Center.
So get your tickets now?
I don't know if you can prepay for them. You can check online and possibly order them online, but you can buy them there Saturday and Sunday, March 13th and 14th. The Dog Talk Show will have a booth there, just like we did last year. Darcy and I will be there in person, along with some other helpful people to help us man the booth. We'll be doing a raffle.
Now, will the cattle dogs be with you?
They might be.
So they'll be there in canine, I guess.
Yes, possibly. And we're going to have to check on that.
Okay.
But we might bring them with us because it's long days for vendors at the dog show. It's early morning until into the evening of Saturday and Sunday. So hopefully we'll be able to bring them. I know that their breeders are going to be there and that they would really love to see them as well. So. Mm.
Well, you have to bring the Kakadu bed so that they can relax during their downtime.
Yeah.
You know what? Looking at this picture, one thing that's always struck me as interesting is how, you know, when people get their picture taken, we often get red eye, you know, but when dogs get their picture taken, they either get blue or green eye. And I guess that has to do maybe with the makeup of the dog eyeball, but.
It does. Actually, I remember dissecting an eyeball in school. I think it was a sheep. It was either a sheep or a cow.
Hmm.
And there is something, and I can't remember the name of it, but there's something like a sheath that's behind the, like on the back end of the eye. That light reflects off of that causes it to be to reflect. And two, to be a certain color. And it kind of looks like, you know, like on seashells where they have sort of a colorful...
Right, like on abalone.
Iridescent?
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
It's kind of like that. Or like when gasoline is spilled on water and you can see the sort of reflective...
Uh-huh. I got to say, it's a lot more flattering than having glowing red eyes, you know.
Yeah.
People look like zombies, but...
Well, I think the cattle dog's eyes look, because the flash is reflecting there, and they look white. But different animals have different colored ones, and it's actually because of this layer of I don't remember what it's called, but if any listeners know what that's called, feel free to call in and let us know.
That's right.
425-373-5527. 425-373-5527. Or toll-free 888-298-5569. It has a name. I don't remember what it is. But it is actually something anatomical that causes that. Now, last week, Eric, you threw a dog talk show trivia question at me. And
I did, yeah. And that reminds me to ask you if we have any dog talk show trivia coming up on the show today.
We do.
Fantastic.
We sure do. I found an interesting quiz that perhaps I'll have you take on the show.
All right.
So you can get your sound effects out.
Well, good. Maybe I'll have a chance to redeem myself since last week I didn't do too well.
Well, these I found some. They were kind of tough. I was having a hard time with it. They were very specific, though.
Luckily, our listeners always do very well. And then, of course, our guests last week did very well as well.
She did. She did very well. Oh, how did your cat... Did your cats like the mouse treats? Did you try them out?
I haven't tried the mouse treats out yet. Sorry.
Eric.
I'll do that. Well, they've got a lot of other treats that I'm trying to get through.
Well.
Can't have all kinds of treats open.
The mouse treats are freeze-dried, so I think they last for a while.
Well, that's true.
Well, I'm anxious to hear if you're just tuning
in.
Okay,
I'll make sure we'll try them this week and see how they like them.
Eric's anniversary present was some cat treats made out of 100% pure mouse.
Yes.
I'm anxious to find out what the cats thought of that, so
let
me know.
I'm glad you told me it was mouse, because when you handed over, I was like, ooh, moose, delicious. But no, it's mouse. So.
Wouldn't be surprised. They're getting real creative with their meat sources. I think they have some kangaroo food out there.
No, I was thinking like chocolate mousse, but because that's got the U in it.
Oh, no. Oh, right. Oh, dear. Well, anyway, the question that you threw
They've
out...
got some deer treats, too, by the way.
Yes, they do. Venison.
And I have some at home, and the cats love those.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
good.
The venison jerky. They go nuts for that.
Ooh, so. Mouse jerky. That's another maybe potential thing.
There's a limited market, yeah. I think.
All right, well, you asked me why are Dalmatians the traditional mascots of firehouses.
Yeah, why
and,
is that?
And I didn't know the answer, so I looked it up. And Dalmatians, their job before firehouses even existed, were bred and trained for the specific purpose of preventing highway robbery. So they were called coach dogs, and they ran aside horse-drawn carriages and acted as buffers and bodyguards to ward off robbers who attempted to ambush the carriages and steal from them. So they were guard dogs, but guard dogs specifically to run alongside horse-drawn carriages. So high energy. So when horse-drawn fire engines arrived, naturally they chose Dalmatians because they were already accustomed to running alongside horse-drawn coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And so since that breed was already accustomed to that, it worked out really well. And their bright white coats made them very visible. And, so that people could see them coming and so that the people using them could keep track of them. And they would run ahead and clear a path for the fire engines racing towards a fire. So they were like a physical siren. Running ahead of those horse-drawn fire engines to clear the way and so get people out of the way and whatever out of the way so that the engine could just run through.
That must have been quite a scene.
Yes.
A fire wagon coming through, dogs running alongside, barking, yeah. Horses pulling it along.
Well, it's the nature of the beast. It's still quite a scene, except now it's just loud and,
right.
You know, bright and red and all that kind of thing. But mm-hmm. So now, you know, I guess Dalmatians are just now still the mascot of a lot of fire stations, even though obviously they don't use them now to clear paths. But interesting history as far as what they were bred for and how they ended up getting associated with firehouses and that they were actually guard dogs for horse-drawn carriages.
I never would have known if I didn't bring it up.
No, so thanks for asking that dog talk show trivia question to me, Eric.
My pleasure.
Yeah, there's so many interesting little tidbits of information. I've got a bunch more to share today at the end of the show. Just really interesting facts, history, and myths, and all types of things. And some are true and some aren't.
So. See, I thought it was just because they look real good in those hats.
Yeah.
But the fire hats.
The red looks really nice with those the white and black. And we also learned last week one of the trivia questions for Dog Talk Show Trivia was, what color are Dalmatian puppies born? And the answer, of course, is white. So, interesting. They don't get their spots until they're a little bit older. So we are going to come back and talk about collars and leashes. And there's so many different types, head collars and metal collars and nylon collars and leather collars. And which ones do I think work best? And we're also taking questions all show long. If you have a question, anything dog related, training behavior or nutrition, you'd like us to answer on air, we'd love to take your call. 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Well, we got a Morris. They've run out of room. Hey, what have we got here? A couple of spotted hyenas? Come on, Morris, old pal. Give them what for. I'm right behind you, lad. Ooh. Oh, you clumsy clod! Hey, Jagman!
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's KEMLY Electric.com. Your home is your castle, but the upkeep. There's always so much to do. You don't want your investment to look run down, but who has time for all the things that need to be done? Regular window washing, gutter and roof cleaning, house cleaning, routine pressure washing. And what about those dryer vents? Lint in dryer vents is a common source of house fires. Ouch! Wouldn't it be nice to have an experienced, established, and respected company take care of those routine tasks for you on a regular basis? Capital Cleaning Services, serving the Seattle area since 1973, is your perfect choice. With years of experience and top ratings on Angie's List, Puget Consumer Checkbook, and the Better Business Bureau, Capital Cleaning Services can reliably and safely help you with your routine home and maintenance tasks. You're in the clear with Capital Cleaning. So call today for a free quote and see how we can help you protect your investment and keep your home looking beautiful all year round. Call 206-782-2494. That's 206-782-2494 for Capital Cleaning Services.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of animals. This week, it's shelter, rescue, sanctuary, and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday. We'll check on the birds at Mollywood and Bellingham, the wildlife at Sarvey's in Arlington, the horses at Equine Rescue in Marysville, and we'll find out what's going on with all the animals at King County Animal Care and Control. Plus, a new Robin Alexis Soul Spa giveaway on Martha Norwalk's Animal World Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Do you have legal questions? Need to know where to turn?
Hi, this is Rick Gregrick, your host of Northwest Legal Compass.
Northwest Legal Compass will address your questions on a variety of legal topics, including estate planning, asset protection, real estate and business planning, and more. The legal and accounting staff of Gregrick and Associates are dedicated to providing you with superior legal and tax services. Their integrated counsel is geared to the achievement of your goals.
Visit us on the web at rjglegal.com.
Be sure and tune in every Friday at noon here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Are you a doctor, dentist, or therapist? Have you ever wished you could take your dog to work with you? Visit healingallies.com to find out how you can train your dog to become a clinical therapy dog in your office or clinic. Clinical therapy dogs provide people with joy, affection, and emotional support in healthcare settings. Research shows that therapy animals have positive psychological and physiological effects on clients and patients. Meet your newest staff member, your dog. Visit healingallies.com or call 206-406-1455 for more information. That's healingallies.com.
More talk, less rock. Come on, that's a good thing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Skin every one of them little spotted eyes if it's the last thing I do.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And that little sound bite was, of course, from 101 Dalmatians.
That's right, the animated version.
Yes.
That came out back in the 60s, I think it was.
Was it that far, that
maybe
long ago?
Maybe the 70s. I'm not sure. I'll find out.
I don't think it was that long.
They made a live-action one in the late 90s or early noughties, I remember. And yeah, this is from the cartoon. Mm. That's what he's talking about, those spotted hyenas.
Yep. But,
yeah. Just
well,
Dalmatians.
And, you know, actually, one of the things with that movie is that they, similarly with Lady and the Tramp, when that came out, is the breed then got very, very popular and sort of went down the toilet in some situations because of the quality of breeding decreases the more popular a breed gets, because then you have not only some breeders breeding to better the breed, but you have some breeders breeding to make money or who just want to do it as a hobby and don't necessarily know what they need to know to be responsible breeders. And you can have health issues as well as temperament issues, and that definitely happened with the American Cocker Spaniel after Lady and the Tramp came out. One of the number one biting breeds now.
Well, plus a lot of people just wanted to feed them spaghetti, I think, and
yeah,
that's probably not a good idea.
So they're aggressive because of the their poor diet.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had a lot of people, you know, as I'm working with people around, especially leash walking, leash aggression, you know, when a dog acts aggressive on leash but not necessarily off leash. And then just as far as using leashes in training, you know, there's so many different tools out on the market, and you know, I found a lot of people who just get recommended every one, you know, when they ask their friend, and then they ask their vet, and then they ask their sister, and then the, you know, and they've got all these people telling them all these different things, and they're trying all these different things, and not really finding what's, you know, one that's working for them, or not knowing how to properly use it. So I just want to go through these different types of things. And if any listeners have any questions, whether it be leash and collar related or not, you can feel free to call in anytime this show. The number to call is 425-373-5527 or toll free 888-298-5569. Again, that's 425-373-5527. Any question, dog-related, training behavior or nutrition, perhaps it's a quirky behavior or a training question or a pet food question, would love to take your call and answer it on air. 425-373-5527. So, you know, and not only is there a lot of varying information, there's actually quite a bit of controversy out there between, you know, one group of people and another group of people as far as what product is the best. Some people feel that certain products are inhumane and abusive, and other people feel that other types are ineffective. And so there's your regular collars, like your nylon buckle collar or leather collar, you know, just kind of your dog's cute collar that they wear and maybe has their tags on it. And those collars, for most dogs that pull on leash, are not going to be effective in training them, you know, how to not pull, because they can just lean into the collar and it puts all that pressure on the front of their neck, which can cause tracheal damage over time. And, you know, that's where you get an older dog that just, you know, pulls on leash and then they hear that sound where they cough. It's actually, over time, it'll damage the trachea, so that then it's sensitive. So if your dog is pulling on leash, it's important that you do protect the neck and, you know, find a tool that is going to apply pressure evenly around the neck, or perhaps use a harness, although those can be tricky. And I'll talk a little bit more about harnesses later on. But we have a caller. We have Tammy in Seattle on line one who has a training question. Hi, Tammy.
Hi, I have two questions. One, you were just talking about the leash. I have a 6-year-old Border Collie Pit Bull mix,
mm-hmm.
and she's wonderful. She does 18 hand commands and verbal commands, but there's two things that really concern me. One, I can't get her trained on the leash. She pulls so bad that she chokes herself, and I've tried several different collars, and I'm concerned that it could hurt her throat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my biggest concern. I cannot enjoy her on a leash anywhere.
Mm.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me want to cry.
Yeah, and you really do, you know, it is important that you do, you know, protect the neck and not let them just pull, pull, pull. And a lot of dogs will just do that. You know, they'll just pull, pull, pull and drag you down the street. Have you tried, what different types of things have you tried?
Well, in the beginning, before I knew that it was bad, I tried the choke collar with the spikes on it.
Uh-huh.
That didn't work. Tried a regular collar. Right now she's in a harness, and she's gone through two harnesses because she breaks them.
Mm-hmm.
So I just have a harness around her chest and her stomach, her midsection.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you know, just to clarify something, in my opinion, I don't find that, I don't believe that the prong collar is bad.
Mm-hmm.
It does need to be properly used.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is a training tool. They really look worse than they are. And there are a lot of people who feel that they are inhumane and all this kind of thing. And I don't agree with them.
Okay.
I think that they are effective in getting the dog's attention and protect the neck. Now, is your dog showing any aggression, or is your dog just pulling?
Just pulling. She just is so excited to get where she wants to get, and she wants to do it without a leash.
Okay.
That's just the end of story, and yeah. She's very stubborn.
Yeah. Well, and probably quite strong, too.
Yeah.
So with the prong collar, you know, it has to sit very high up on the neck. It needs to be fitted like a pair of pants.
Okay.
And sit right behind the ears. And then ideally the only time the dog should ever feel the presence of the leash and collar is when they're getting a quick correction, which is just a snap with the leash.
Right.
And the, you know, the dog will, dogs have varying degrees of sensitivity. Some dogs are more physically sensitive than others. Pit bulls as a breed are not terribly physically sensitive. They have actually a very high pain tolerance.
Yes.
They can be very emotionally sensitive for sure, and pouty and all that kind of stuff, yeah. And very sweet and very connected, but physically they don't tend to be very sensitive. So you need to work with your dog and, you know, figure out how firm of a correction you need to give your dog in order to get their attention, but you don't want to give them too much of a correction, you know, in a way that's going to scare them or anything like that.
Okay, perfect. I will try that again. I have somewhere I can take her to get it fitted, too.
Just make sure that it's properly fitted, and the brand that I recommend is Sprenger, S-P-R-E-N-G-E-R.
Okay.
And if you go to their website, which I believe is sprenger.de, because it's a German company, but if you just Google Herm Sprenger, they have a lot of information as far as how to properly use it. And then you can always get in touch with me off air if you do need more guidance or you want to set up a private lesson. But you should be able to teach your dog not to pull on leash, even if she's real stubborn.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
I have one other question, if
that's
okay.
Yeah.
She, for some reason, acts really bizarre and hides under my bed. And she's extremely aggressive under there. It's the only place she's aggressive.
Okay. Well, let's take a quick break, and I'll continue to talk with you off air and get some more information.
Okay.
And then I'll answer your question when we come back from break.
Okay.
How's that sound?
Good.
So we'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, the home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
I'm Joy Turner, host of Talk With Your Animals, now on Thursdays at 1 p.m. I take your calls and talk with your animal companions about anything you'd like to know from them. You can also talk with your loved ones, both human and animals, on the other side. Tune in to Talk With Your Animals Thursdays at 1 with me, Joy Turner. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Dawn Stansfield, and I would like to invite you to listen to my show live Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Alternative Talk 1150 a.m. as my guests and I explore and discuss the values of spirituality and how it can create our overall wealth within our lives. Tune in and listen live to the Dawn Stansfield Show Monday through Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m.
Alternative to what? Alternative to everything else out there on the radio. Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Ooh, why must I feel like that? Why must I chase the cat?
Nothing but the dog in me.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. And we're talking with Tammy in Seattle, who had a second question about her dog. And she is a six-year-old pit bull border collie mix. And she has a very curious behavior. And so will you tell us again what it is she's doing?
She, at different given times of the day, will cower and run and hide under the bed.
And
for no particular reason, no trigger that I can find.
Mm-hmm. And then if you go to to if you do anything as a, you know, in response to that, she'll act aggressive?
If she's under the bed, she will nip at your feet. She will growl. She sounds terribly vicious under the bed. That's the only place.
So if you are just walking around near her, ignoring her, she'll nip at your feet?
If she gets your feet under the bed, if you go scoop by your feet, scoop by under the bed skirt, yeah, she will nip at your feet.
Okay. And there was that you recall a specific incident where this started?
Yes, about a couple of years ago, she, I don't know what happened. She ran in the house and ran under the bed, and there was a little bit of blood on the floor. And I had to lift up my whole bed to get her out, and I ended up taking her to the vet. And she apparently had gotten in a fight with a cat, and a cat's nail was actually in her chest.
Mm-hmm.
So they removed it, and she's fine. But this behavior has continued since then.
What was the next, do you remember the next time it happened, the second time?
It was shortly after that. I would have her come in the kitchen for her treat when I get home from work. And I don't know if it's the tone of my voice or what, but she would just instantly, you could see her ears would cower down. She would bow down and boom, she's under the bed again. And you can't talk to her or go near her for about 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then she'll come back out and act like everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. And the first time it happened when she had the cat nail stuck in her chest, did you go to get a treat initially to pull her out from under the bed?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not even think about it. I just was concerned that something was wrong with her.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm not saying that you should have. I'm just curious if maybe she made that association didn't. So, couple things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, working with her, dogs can get, you know, who knows what tweaked her out. Obviously, she was in the middle of kind of a traumatic experience. She'd gotten in a fight with a cat, came in and then went under the bed to just hide.
Mm-hmm.
So fight and flight. So she just wanted to, you know, get out of there and just disappear and chill out for a while and, you know, kind of come back to planet Earth. And so, of course, you know, you're concerned about her health and you needed to address her medically. So you lifted up the bed to get her out, which probably freaked her out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then she was also injured and she had already come from sort of a traumatic experience. So she's got all this kind of bad energy all tied up with this whole experience. And then what can happen, especially is she overreactive in general, or is this really the only time she does it?
Not typically, no. This is the only, she only does it periodically a couple of times a week, and I've noticed her pattern getting a little more frequent where it's not just a couple of times, it's turning into four or five times a day.
Okay. So that's where you really want to look at, you know, is there something, really looking at how you're responding that is reinforcing the behavior?
Okay.
And, you know, there's certain things you can do to try to work with her around it so that she, you know, so that you try to work her out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you also want to make sure that you're not reinforcing the behavior. Like, you know, for example, she gets freaked out, goes and hides under the bed, and then you either just give her attention, which is reinforcing,
mm-hmm.
or treats or something like that, and just kind of feed into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a couple things that just come to mind. One would be to barricade the bed,
mm-hmm.
So that she can't get underneath it.
Yeah, I was wondering, would that be okay? Would that freak her out even more?
No, I don't think so. You know, it'd be interesting to see, you know, if the bed is barricaded, will she then still be triggered by something and then want to try to escape? If she does, will she go somewhere else? Will she still exhibit the behavior? Or is it really just specific to underneath the bed? And if you remove that option, it'll just go away.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that I would try.
Okay.
The other thing is to, you know, somehow, you know, another way to not give her access to doing it. Like
okay.
having her with you, like, let's say for the next 2 weeks, especially since she's doing it more frequently. Say, okay, you know, for the next 2 weeks, we're just really going to focus on this. And, you know, whenever she's inside with us, she's going to be on leash, just tied to my belt.
Oh.
And so then if she gets triggered, you know, and, you know, something, she starts all of a sudden getting weird and wants to escape, you have her on leash and then you can work with her and try to, like, de-escalate her and bring her back down.
Break that habit.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like have her sit or just do something really basic but engage her brain.
Okay. I'm wondering, can they get anxiety?
Oh, dogs can definitely get anxiety.
Because that's what it seems like to me, that she's like having anxiety.
Mm-hmm. You know, this is definitely something, you know, that's a, you know, more complicated issue. There, it's a behavioral thing. It's an interesting history. And, you know, it'd be really a matter of kind of figuring out what is the best way that she as an individual is going to respond favorably to being worked through it.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to put her on my belt for 2 weeks when I'm home and see how she responds to that and see if I can help snap her out of it.
Yeah, and start a log or something like so that you can just sort of jot down, okay, what was just happening that caused her to kind of flip the switch and just kind of trigger to want to run under the bed and escape? Because if you can really get an idea of what causes it, what the trigger is, then you can actually use that constructively and, you know, more productively work her through that.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much, Julie.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your time.
And if you need more, you know, if we need to set up a lesson or something like that, then you can get in touch with me, host@dogtalkshow.com.
Got it.
Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Very interesting. So, yeah.
So a note to pit bulls out there, leave those cats alone.
Yeah, really.
They can defend themselves.
No kidding, huh? I wouldn't mess with a cat. Cats are tough. They're just all razors.
Right.
A lot of times people ask me if I work with cats, and I'm like, no, do not train cats. I'd be unemployed. So this kind of comes back to, you know, what we were talking about with the leashes and collars and what are the effective things and what are not effective and all that. But you know, it's really important that you are able to establish communication with the leash, because with something like that specifically, where you really need that communication and that basic training to help work through behavioral issues, like where the dog just takes off and runs under the bed, if she can find out when she gets triggered, and then if she has this toolbox of commands, like even something as simple as, you know, having her sit and clicking her brain into gear, getting her brain engaged and therefore grounded and out of the reactive mode and into a thinking mode. So it's important that basic training is just always a good idea, because you never know what you're going to run into, even if you don't, you know, have a particularly high expectation of your animal training-wise. Just a basic education gives you communication so that if you do come across something like this, your dog's brain is used to working in a certain way that will help them kind of navigate through some scary situations, like is what that dog went through. So I was talking about, I was talking with her about different products. And a lot of people say that training collars, like metal training collars, prong collars particularly, are, you know, barbaric and you know, terrible and all this kind of thing. And that's really not my experience with them. You know, there's definitely a proper way to use them, and it's definitely not the collar for all dogs. But I think that's the case with everything, is that you can't say that, you know, this one thing is going to work for everybody, because it's just, you always have to take in the individual into consideration. Some dogs are just too sensitive for them, and those are the types of dogs that you don't need that type of training tool. So you use something else that you know, doesn't have such an impact, and they don't need that much stimulation to get their brain engaged. But there are a lot of dogs, you know, most dogs that I work with that really respond very favorably to them. It doesn't freak them out. It doesn't hurt them. And it very importantly protects their neck, because it applies pressure evenly around the neck rather than just at the front, like just a regular nylon collar would if they were pulling, would just put all that pressure on the front and cause tracheal damage over time. So, you know, then there's these these head collars. Halties and Gentle Leaders are the two big brands. I think there's a Canine Bridle, which is a little bit different than the Halties and the Gentle Leaders, designed a bit differently. I like those ones better. If you're going to use a head collar, look for something called a Canine Bridle, where the leash attaches on the back of the neck area rather than below the nose. One thing with the head collars, like the Halties and Gentle Leaders, is that I've found that sometimes it can work for dogs as far as giving you more control over them when walking on leash, but it is more, in my experience, a Band-Aid for pulling rather than teaching your dog to do something that you want them to do. You know, it's kind of more of the ignore the bad behavior and then reinforce the behavior that you want. And I think that reinforcing the behavior that you want is very, very important. But then there's this whole other half of communication, which is communicating wrong choice. And that's not abusive. It's not inhumane. It's just communicating to the dog that they've made a wrong choice. So, you know, any way that a dog that you're going to be able to engage the dog's brain, get their attention. There's not one way that works for everybody. I don't think that there's one right way. But I, you know, there are definitely some things to be careful of across the board. There's also another type of metal collar called, commonly known as a choke chain, which I actually don't like to use in training. I don't find them to be very effective. And they also do kind of what they say that they would. If the dog just pulls, it will just continue to constrict the dog's airways and, you know, cut off their air supply. And I've heard of dogs that would have actually pulled themselves into passing out because they're pulling so hard on the choke collar and it's just constricting their neck. So I don't typically like those ones. It's just a chain with a ring on either end. And then you just sort of slip the chain down into one ring and then it makes a collar. The other thing about that type of collar that's commonly misunderstood is that it needs to be put on a certain way. Otherwise, they won't release on their own and won't release properly. So as you're putting it on the dog, if you are going to use one of these collars, it should, as you're looking at it, make a letter P as you put it over the head of the dog, so that when you pull it, it will also then release when you give slack. And that's really important because you don't want that to get stuck because, again, it will constrict your dog's neck. Harnesses, I think, are tricky with training because, you know, if you think of like a sled dog, if you want a dog to pull a sled, you put them in a harness to do that because that's where they're the most powerful. So, you know, their chest and shoulders is where they're the strongest and the thickest. So you're just dispersing the weight over their chest, which I think in a lot of cases just has the dogs pull more or harder. So harnesses are great because you're protecting the neck from damage, but you're not doing anything training-wise to engage the dog's brain and give that all-important correction to communicate wrong choice, to get the dog's attention, to click their brain into gear. There are some harnesses that I've, you know, some people have said that they've really had a lot of success with where they clip in the front. I think that this is more of a band-aid for pulling, generally speaking, but some people really swear by them. And, you know, it really comes down to what works for you and your dog. If it works, it works. I mean, there's no arguing with results. So you can, you know, talk about your opinions and your philosophies and what you think about these different types of tools, as long as you're not being abusive, you know, as long as the dog is able to still be comfortable and confident and enjoy themselves. Basically, if it works for you, then that's great. If the dog responds well and you're able to get the dog's attention and communicate with the dog effectively, great. Then obviously it's working. But if it's not working, then, you know, clearly something needs to be done. And a lot of times it's a matter of finding the right tool to use, especially when it comes to leash walking. And especially like with our collar, you know, with a big, powerful dog who's just, you know, can't get wherever they're going fast enough and just pulls her with her, you know, you really do need something that's going to make more of an impression on the dog and click that dog's brain into gear and teach the dog how to focus on the human rather than just, you know, barreling through the world on leash. Because, you know, she was clearly upset by it, and then she probably doesn't take the dog out as much as she'd like to because it's hard to manage her on leash, and so then the dog's not getting as much exercise and sort of the cycle continues. So when we come back, I'm going to talk about leashes, and we still have some time to take a phone call. If you have a question about your dog, whether it be a training question or behavior or food-related question, we'd love to hear from you. 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll-free 888-298-5569. We'll be back in just a few minutes with the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
I'm just a-walking my dog, singing my song, strolling along. Yeah, it's just me and my dog, catching some sun. We can't go wrong.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Does work feel like a puzzle and you don't know where all the pieces are, or you have all the pieces but you don't know what the picture should look like? Then join me, Denise Rubin, 30-year vet in human resources. I've sat in the boardroom and in the executive offices, and I'll share with you the trials and tribulations of the workplace and how together we can solve the workplace puzzle one piece at a time. Tune in to Work Does Matter, Fridays from 1 to 2 in the afternoon on Alternative Talk 1150. Visit my website at workdoesmatter.com.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Next Monday, Beth Rao Scott on her travels from Saskatchewan to Africa, Brenda Peterson on finding rapture here on Earth, and Robin Hobb on the Rain Wilds Chronicles.
Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
Proud to bring variety to your radio dial. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
About your hating and your doubt. And I don't care what the politicians spout. If you need a companion, why just go right to the pound and find yourself a hound and make that doggy proud, because that's what it's all about.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. So just a quick bit about leashes. I've talked about this before on the show, but, you know, especially in a city environment, it's so much more important to really be aware of proper leash etiquette, you know, to work with your dog so that they are well-mannered on leash. Because, you know, in a city like in Seattle, especially a city that just loves dogs like Seattle, and there's just dogs everywhere, even downtown, living in these downtown high-rise condos, they're filled with dogs, that you just have some awareness of some proper leash etiquette. One thing that I just really worries me, and that just irritates me as well, is to see dogs, especially in a city environment where there's a high density population, where these dogs are on retractable leashes extended out, you know, 20, in some cases even 26 feet, you know, ahead of their owners. And, you know, they're crossing streets ahead of their owners without, you know, obviously dogs aren't checking for cars. Or if you're at somewhere like Seattle's Green Lake, where there's always lots of people, especially as the weather gets nicer, you really need to keep your dog close to you, you know, for two main reasons. One, to protect your dog, because not all dogs are friendly on leash. In fact, a lot of dogs are not friendly on leash with other dogs that might be comfortable off leash with dogs. And, you know, so you don't want your dog to get bit or something like that. If your dog is 20 feet ahead of you and it just runs into somebody else's space and someone else's dog, you know, you could start a dog fight or something like that. So you want to protect your own dog and keep them close to you, and also be respectful of other people and other people and their dogs, where their dogs may not be comfortable with other dogs. And so if your dog just runs over to them, it's actually really just in kind of an interruption and intrusive on their space as well. You know, they're just trying to enjoy their walk with their dog, and then you've got your dog just sort of running over to them without any communication between people. So if you want your dog to interact with someone else's dog, always make sure that you have that communication with the other person. You know, can my dog say hi? Don't just ask, is your dog friendly? But actually specifically ask, can my dog say hi? And give them the opportunity to say yes or no. And if they say no, you know, don't shoot them a dirty look, because they have every right to just say, no, you know, my dog's not friendly. Or maybe they just don't want to stop their walk or whatever. So just, you know, really respecting people's space and other dogs' space as well, and protecting your own dog, very important. So if you must use a retractable leash, make sure that you keep that reined in. Actually, there is a leash law in Seattle where leashes are not to be more than 8 feet long. So it's actually technically illegal to have your retractable leash extended out further than 8 feet, although they're probably not going to ticket you for it. But another reason to do that. I found leather leashes have much better grip, especially if you have a large dog that's pulling. Definitely, you know, make the investment on the leather leash because it's going to give you much better grip. Some of those nylon or rope leashes are actually hard to grip and can even burn your hand, which can be tough. So, well, I have just a little bit of dog talk show trivia that we're going to play with Eric in the last few minutes of the show. Some interesting questions. Are you ready, cool. Eric?
I'm ready to go, yeah.
All right.
And I know I'm going to win the chance to play my sound effect. So
excellent.
That's a good prize for me.
Yes. So now these are all true or false questions.
Okay.
So true or false, female dogs have better personalities if they are allowed to have a litter before being spayed.
I think that is false.
That's correct.
Wait. Ah, come on. Meant to do that one.
Yes. Studies have shown this to be false. Many of the health benefits of spaying occur only if the female is spayed before that first litter. And, you know, we have a huge overpopulation problem in this country and around this world.
Mm-hmm.
We do not need people just breeding the dogs. Oh, I want her to have a litter.
Right.
Just so she feels good about that or whatever. I mean, I think that that's our human emotions on that. And, mm-hmm. You know, get your dog spayed and neutered. We don't need them. We don't need extra puppies, that's for sure. Eric, true or false? A pet store is a bad place to buy a puppy.
I think that is true.
Absolutely true. Pet stores are horrid places to buy a puppy. We've talked about puppy mills quite a bit on this show in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these pet stores, all the pet stores are getting their dogs from some type of puppy mill establishment. You're getting a dog that does not have good genetics, oftentimes are sick, and you're supporting an industry that is very, very terrible. Never buy a dog from a pet store, and be very careful when purchasing a dog online. Do not meet a breeder out of the back of their car in a mall parking lot. Always go to the site. Make sure that it's clean, that there's not too many dogs, and that the parents of the dog have great temperament and health. Eric?
All good points.
The Chinese crested and other hairless dogs have higher body temperatures than dogs with hair.
Wow, this one, I'm just taking a stab in the dark and I'm going to say true.
No. Oh, come on, Eric. Play your favorite one. They just feel warmer because they don't have any hair.
I see.
But their body temperature is the same.
Good to know.
True or false, Eric, the poodle originated in France.
I think that one is true.
No.
Oh.
It's actually a German breed. Its name comes from the old German word poodlin. Forgive my pronunciation.
I was doing some poodling a little earlier today.
Really? Because it means splashing in puddles.
Oh, well, you know, perfect day for some poodling.
Puddling, poodle in, it was originally a retrieving breed and a water dog.
Uh-huh. Well, that makes sense.
All right, last one. True or false, the dog was the first domesticated animal?
I think that's true.
Indeed. Dogs have been living with people for a minimum of 14,000 years. There is evidence that suggests perhaps they've even been with us for over 100,000.
Now, back to that poodle thing here real quick. Is there like curly fur, faster drying since they're a water dog?
I think it's waterproof.
Oh, waterproof.
And so that's why they leave tufts, you know, those tufts on the hips and stuff to keep the joints warm.
Oh, okay.
And around the heart and stuff to keep the internal organs warm from the cold water.
That makes sense. I'm wondering if there's any other dogs that people do that topiary hedge stuff, you know, with their dogs.
I've seen it with Portuguese water dogs.
So all the water dogs are the ones with the goofy haircuts.
Well, we will be here next Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. All the past shows are archived on the website, www.dogtalkshow.com. And we will be here next week. Thanks for listening on Alternative Talk 1150.